Praise the Lord. Let's rise up as we pray together. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this retreat. And we thank you for everything you have for every one of us. We do praise your name because you grant us a journey mercies. Thank you for bringing us there safely. And we thank you because of the great things we are going to do in every life. We're asking, oh Lord, that you pour your blessings down upon every one of us in Jesus' name. We ask for every brother, every sister, every invitee, every member of the church, that, Lord, your blessings will be abundant in every life in the mighty name of Jesus. Our children, our youth, our campus students, our daddies, our mommies, our leaders, our workers, our overseers, everyone, Lord, we pray, we'll have abundance from heaven this time in Jesus' name. We're asking for all the retreat locations everywhere. We're calling upon your name together as you are blessing your people here. Bless everyone there too in Jesus' name. We pray that the expectation of the people of God will not be cut short. You'll fulfill the desires and the aspirations and the demands of your people even from this night in Jesus' name. Be glorified in every life, Lord. We pray that at the end of the retreat, every mouth will sing praise unto you in Jesus' name. We thank you because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name we pray. I welcome every one of you to our Easter retreat at this time. And I pray that the touch of the Lord, the transformation of the Lord, will be upon your life in Jesus' name. I need to tell you that as you come to a retreat like this, it will be necessary that you will, by the grace of God, prepare your mind so that your expectation will be high. And then you come with faith, great expectation, confidence in the Lord. And I believe that as you come with such expectation, that expectation will be fulfilled in Jesus' name. We're looking at Psalm 62 verse 5. In Psalm 62 verse 5, my soul, which thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. I want you to underline that word expectation, my expectation. You must have something in your mind for coming. And there must be something, a desire, an aspiration, an ambition, an expectation, a purpose, a reason why you are here. And I'm believing that that purpose and reason and expectation will be so clear in your mind. At the end of the retreat, you'll be able to say, praise the Lord, I expected that and I got it. You will get it in Jesus' name. In Proverbs chapter 23, verse 18. Proverbs chapter 23. We're reading from verse 18. In verse 18, it says, for surely there is an end. That means there is a purpose, there is a goal. That is, anything you do as a child of God, anywhere you are as a child of God, there must be a goal, there must be a reason, there must be a purpose and end while you are there. And it says, surely, very definitely, there is an end. And then it says, thine expectation shall not be cut off. Give me a good amen there. My expectation shall not be cut off. I said, my expectation shall not be cut off. Your expectation will not be cut off in Jesus' name. Following through on the expectation of the child of God, we're looking at Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29, I'm reading from verse 11. Here is what the Lord is telling us about the expectation of the righteous, the expectation of the people of God that come in the presence of God, wanting to receive something from the Lord. It tells us in this, Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. It says in verse 11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you. The Lord is thinking about you. I said the Lord is thinking about you. as you center your mind, your goal, and your very thoughts upon the Lord. And then you have this great expectation according to His word, expectation according to His promise, expectation according to the provision of the Lord for you. Here it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you." Maybe you only think, "I'm thinking about myself, I'm thinking about my need, I'm thinking about my desires, I'm thinking about all these needs of my life, my spiritual life, my physical life, and my health, and the dominion and ought to have, and my profession." Everything you are thinking about, the Lord says, "I've been thinking about that before you even started thinking about that. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, and not of evil, to give you an expected end." It is coming. I said it is coming. It will come upon your life in Jesus' name. "Then he shall call upon me, and he shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you." The Lord is telling us the way to have the expectation fulfilled, and the way to have everything you have in your mind, all those desires, all those ambitions, all those goals, all those expectations, everything to be fulfilled in your life. He tells us there in verse 12, he says, "Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you." The Lord will listen to us. "And ye shall seek me, and ye shall seek me, and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart." You will seek me and find me when you will search for me with all your heart. At this retreat, we're thinking and talking about the cross. We're talking about the blood of Jesus Christ. We're talking about his crucifixion. We're talking about his death. We're talking about his burial. We're talking about his resurrection. We're talking about his ascension. We're talking about his exaltation. What he's doing right now on the, at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you. I'm praying for you and wanting to give you the expectation of your life. And I pray that as we think about Christ, from the time he went to the cross for us, and from the time he died for us, and from the time he was buried and then rose again, I pray that all the benefits of Calvary will come upon your life in Jesus' name. Tonight, we're talking about the cross that cancels our curse. The cross, Calvary. The cross, the crucifixion, the cross, how he laid down his life for us, the cross, the death he died for us, the substitutionary death by which he paid the price of our redemption, the cross that cancels our curse. When we talk about the curse, it actually started at the time of the fall. We're looking at Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, I'm reading from verse 15. You will see that as far back as Genesis chapter 3, the Lord the Father, the God the Father, has spoken about the crucifixion of Christ, and then the purpose of that crucifixion, and the end of that crucifixion, the result of that crucifixion, and the profit to the children of men, to humanity, concerning the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. It tells us in chapter 3, verse 15. Genesis chapter 3 verse 15, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman," talking about Satan represented by the serpent, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." That was the prophecy concerning Christ's crucifixion, the prediction concerning Christ's crucifixion. The Father was looking forward to the time when his only begotten son will come. And in fact, he calls him the seed of the woman. He said, Satan will bruise his heel. That's referring to the crucifixion. But then the result of that is that the Lord Jesus Christ, by that death, by that crucifixion, will destroy all the works of the devil. By that crucifixion, all the yoke will be broken. Your yokes are broken. All the curses will be totally removed. The curse in your life removed in Jesus' name. And it is because of what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. And I pray that during this retreat, the benefit of what he did will come to every one of us in Jesus' name. Isaiah chapter 53, I'm reading from verses 4 and 5. Isaiah chapter 53, we're looking at verse 4, verse 5, and then we'll come to verse 6 as well. It says in verse 4, surely he has borne our griefs. Again, he's talking about how he died for us, not for himself. How he bore a punishment. He didn't have any punishment of his own to bear. It was the death we should have died, that Jesus died. It was the shame that we should have gone through, that Jesus went through. It was a punishment we should have had, that Jesus Christ had. That's why Isaiah said, surely, surely, he has borne our griefs. He said it as if it had happened already. Even though Isaiah came about 700 years before Christ was born, he saw it afar off. And he knew that it was decided by the Heavenly Father, it's going to be done. And because of that, he said it as if it had taken place already. Surely, certainly, he Christ, the crucified one, he Christ, the one that bore our punishment on the cross of Calvary, he has borne our griefs. He has carried our sorrows. And yet, we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, tell me, with his stripes we are healed. All the curse, he bore that. All the sicknesses, he bore that. All the shame, he bore that. All the sorrow, he bore that. All the punishment and the condemnation, he bore that. Everything negative that we should have had because of our sins, he bore everything. And the Bible says, surely there's no shadow of doubt about this. This is what he has done. And I pray that you receive the benefit of that even from tonight in Jesus' name. Condemnation, he will take away. The punishment, he'll take away. The pain and the sickness and disease, he'll take away. And from tonight, it will set you completely free in Jesus' name. Look at verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The cross that cancels our curse. The crucifixion that cancels a curse. The death of Christ on the cross of Calvary that cancels a curse. The substitutionary work of atonement of Jesus Christ that cancels our curse. 3 points we're going to look at. Number one, redemption and release by the crucified Christ. Redemption, redemption and release by the crucified Christ. The Lord has given us redemption, full redemption, complete redemption. He has also released us from the curse of the law. Redemption and release by the crucified Christ. Number two, repentance and removal of the curse. Tonight, all curses and yokes are broken and taken away in Jesus' name. Repentance and removal of the curse. Repentance, repentance. Repentance means turning away from anything that brought the judgment of God. Turning away from all the evil, all the things we brought upon ourselves. The misbehavior, the misconduct, the evil, the bad character, the sin, the transgression, the iniquity, everything, turning away from them, repentance. And when we repent like that, then the Lord Jesus Christ in his power, because of his atonement, because of what he did on the cross of Calvary, he takes away, he removes even the curse. And tonight will be that night, your life in Jesus' name. Number three is remission and righteousness. Remission and righteousness. Remission means it so cleanses your sin, it so forgives your sin that it doesn't even remember anymore, as if it was never done. And the accusation of the devil will fall to the ground because the Lord says, I don't even remember. He's blotted everything away. And that on the basis of his cross, that is remission and righteousness through his cross. Remission of your sin and righteousness, the righteousness of Christ through his cross. We're coming to number one. Number one is redemption and release by the crucified Christ. I'm looking at Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. We're reading verses 13 and 14. Galatians chapter 3. Verses 13 and 14. Here we'll see the great work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The result of that. The consequence of that. The price he paid for your redemption. And the price he paid for your total release. It tells us in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. There's a lot there. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. When you say the curse of the law, the broken law, God gave commandment to Adam and Eve. They broke the commandment of God. As a result of that, a curse came upon them. And we as their descendants, we also inherited that curse from those our forefathers. But because Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, he has now redeemed us from the curse of that law. And all the curse, as you believe the Lord tonight, you are going to find you become totally free in the mighty name of Jesus. Not only that, when he called the children of Israel, he gave them a law. And all the laws he gave them, he said, there is penalty, there is punishment when the law is broken. And all the penalty and all the pain and all the punishment, that became the curse. In fact, he told them, if you do this, this will happen. If you go this direction, that will happen. If you go this way, that will happen. And that became the curse. But then it says now, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. You see that? Because of the death of Jesus. Because of the atonement. You can say, praise the Lord, I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And because I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, all my curse, the curse coming from the time of Adam and Eve, the curse coming from the time of the children of Israel, all that is taken away. Not only that, if you had joined yourself to maybe a kind of society, a kind of group, and then they laid the law down and they said, if you contradict this, if you contravene this, if you go against this, this will happen. And then you became a Christian. And since that time, you have been seeing the consequence of that kind of covenant in your life. But that thing tonight is going to be broken. Or maybe it was her parents that went into a particular association and they said, this is for you and for your wife and then for your children, for everybody in your extended family. We didn't know anything. And then the curse came. Thank God you are here tonight. I said, thank God you are here tonight. Because everything will be broken away from your life in Jesus' name. Because Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Be made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. That means when the curse is taken away, there is no vacuum, because blessings will come to replace the curse in your life, in my life, in our lives together in Jesus' name. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith, that we might receive. You are receiving something tonight. You are receiving something in this retreat. And before you leave this retreat, your cup will be overflowing in Jesus' name. That we might receive the blessing of Abraham and the promise of the Spirit through faith. You can see right there we have redemption. Through Jesus Christ, through his atonement, we have redemption. Through his sacrifice, we have redemption. And through the shedding of his blood, we have redemption. It tells us in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. In whom we have redemption. In whom we have redemption. Through his blood. Through his blood. That is, through the blood that was shed. Before he died, we couldn't have that through his blood. But when he died, when he spilled his blood, when he shed his blood for you and for me, it says, because of that shed blood, crucifixion, death, atonement, redemption because of the bloody shed. He said, in whom now we have redemption. It is not that we are going to have it in the future. We have it already, and you are going to have it today. I said you are going to have it today, and then you'll be able to say, praise the Lord, Jesus died for me. Jesus took my sins away. Jesus took my guilt away. And he says, we have redemption through his blood. It is not through our own effort or through our own sacrifice or through our own giving money to the beggars or through our own making this or making that. There are many religious people, they go through tradition. They go through whatever they are going through, and they think that by the works of their hand, they'll be able to have this. No, could my tears forever flow, and could my zeal no respite know? All these for sin cannot atone. Thou and thou alone must save. That's why it says, rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. It is the redemption of Jesus Christ that gives us all these benefits. It's not how you feel. It's not what you have done. It's not what you have not done. It is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Then it says, even the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. You are going to have it today. In Colossians, very important, Colossians chapter 1 verse 13. Colossians chapter 1 verse 13. Notice what he's saying here. Remember, we're talking about the cross that cancels the curse. Every curse and every yoke. Every oppression of the devil, of the enemy, every kind of confinement, imprisonment of the enemy, he cancels everything. And it is through the blood that is shed for us. He tells us in Colossians chapter 1 verse 13, who has delivered us, who has delivered us. Has he done it? I said, has he done it? He has delivered us from the power of darkness. From the power of darkness. Those people that stay behind the curtain in a dark shrine somewhere and they try to throw a spell upon you were delivered from that already. I said, I am delivered from that already. He says, who has delivered us from the power of darkness, and he has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. In the kingdom of his dear son, there is no yoke. I don't have any yoke. In the kingdom of his dear son, there is no curse. I don't have any curse. In the kingdom of his dear son, there is no oppression by the devil. I don't have any oppression. You'll not have oppression in Jesus' name. Look at that verse again. Let me illustrate it to you like this. It's like, let's say, for example, in a particular country. In that country, all the people, the powers that be, powers of darkness and powers on the land, territorial powers, powers in the bush and powers in the field and powers everywhere, uniform power, ununiform power, common power, uncommon power, they were running after you, purchasing you. And then you got a passport. And then you got a visa. And you traveled to another country. And those people cannot see you anymore. The authority is limited to their own territory. The authority is limited to their own country, but now you have been translated to another country. In that other country, they don't have any passport to go to that country. They don't have any visa to go to that country. In that other country, you are as free as a bird flying in the air. Totally free. I said totally free. Now, when you are in the kingdom of darkness, in the kingdom of the devil, that is, under the power of the enemy, they could oppress you, they could torment you, they could give you brain problem, they could give you sickness, they could put any yoke upon you, upon your family, upon your work, upon everything that you are doing. But thank God, I said, thank God, I said, praise be to the name of the Lord. He delivered you from the power of darkness. Tell the person by your side, he delivered me. Is that how you say that? He delivered me. And then he has translated you out of the kingdom of darkness unto the kingdom of his dear son. Can I remind you, when God delivered the children of Israel from Egypt, that's from the power of darkness, and he translated them, and they crossed the Red Sea. No Egyptian could follow the children of Israel across that Red Sea. The same thing he has done for you, because he has delivered us from the power of darkness and he has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Then it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. I have got it. I said I got it. It will be yours in Jesus' name. Tonight, all those pressures and all those problems, as you stand up in prayer, when we finish, everything will drop to the ground. All the yoke, all the oppression, all the curse, all the things. You know, you see this night, you see this in the day. By the time you get up and then you say, praise the Lord, I'm delivered from the power of darkness. And he has translated me into the kingdom of his dear son. Everything will leave you in Jesus' name. It tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 14. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 14. Here is what the Lord is telling us. He says, for he is our peace. He, Jesus Christ, is our peace. He, the crucified one, is our peace, who has made both one. And he has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. What does that mean? What does that mean? He has made both one. What he's saying is, between the Jew and the Gentile, there were privileges that Jews had that the Gentiles did not have. There were promises that the Jews had that the Gentiles did not have. But now Jesus Christ, because he died on the cross of Calvary, he has made both one. Everything belonging to the Jews now belongs to the Gentiles. Not only that, you know, the men and the women in the olden days, in the Old Testament in particular, there were things men had that women could not have. But now he has made both the men and the women. He has made us one, so that all the privileges belonging to the men, they belong to the women as well. In the olden times, the privileges belonging to the adult, the daddies and the mommies, that did not belong to the children. It's made everyone one now, that whatever other people have, you can have yours too. I said you will have yours too. And then you know that in the past there was a difference, a wide gap between the Levites and the children of Israel. That is, between the clergy and the laity. That is, they will say, this the clergy can have, these lower things the laity, that is the general people, can have. He has made both one, the clergy and the laity. He's brought everything together, the ministers and the members. He has brought everything together, and whatever I have, you can have. Whatever the other people have, you can have. There is no limit to the blessing coming upon your life, even tonight, in Jesus' name. Are you there? Are you going to have? You have it already in Jesus' name. Let me read that to you again in verse 14. For he is our peace. He is our peace. Your peace, the devil will not take away. Your peace, nothing on earth will take it away in Jesus' name. Who has made both one. And he has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments, then he says, contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross. Then it says, having slain the enmity thereby. Any kind of hatred, any kind of enmity between you and then the Almighty God, because of your past sins, he cancels your sin. He cancels the enmity, and then you are reconciled unto God. He came and he preached peace unto you which were far off, and to them that were near, afar off, the Gentiles, and those who were near, the Jews. And then it says, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Thank God that has happened to you already. Now in Jeremiah, you need to see this one. Jeremiah chapter 15, we're looking at verse 20. You are delivered. I said you are delivered. You are set free. All those powers of darkness and all the curse and all the yoke, everything is taken away because of Calvary up in your life in Jesus' name. Chapter 15, verse 20, it says, and I will make thee unto these people a fence-brazen wall. and they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee. I want to remind you that God said this in the future because Christ had not come at that time, but now Christ has come. Emmanuel has come. Emmanuel means God with us. God with you. I say God with you. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, in Jesus' name. For I am with thee to save thee and to deliver thee, says the Lord. And I will deliver out of the hand of the wicked. We can even rejoice on the basis of that. I will deliver thee from the hand of the wicked. That makes the child of God to shout around the Jericho walls. That makes us to celebrate, because now all the wicked powers, they are broken away from our lives in Jesus' name. And then he says, and I will redeem thee out of the hand of the terrible. I will redeem you out of the hand of terrible. Mr. Terrible doesn't have any hold upon your life anymore. You know, some people, they are so bold, they come to you, they say, look at me, I am Mr. Terrible. I said, if you are Mr. Terrible, praise the Lord, I'm not under your power, I'm not under your authority, because I am delivered already. In the day, you are delivered. In the night, you are delivered. And whatever the names are, Mr. Terror, Mr. Terrible, Mr. Wickedness, Mr. Satan, whatever they are, you are set free in Jesus' name. Chapter 31, Jeremiah chapter 31. I'm reading here from verse 11. Jeremiah chapter 31. And we're looking at verse 11. It says, for the Lord has redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he, stronger than he, stronger than he. All those people that were stronger than you in the past, and they could oppress you, they could depress you, they could make you sick, they could do whatever, torment your life. You are now stronger than they are. And they will not have any power, any hold, any authority over your life anymore. Because it says he has ransomed you from the hand of him that was stronger than you are. Praise the Lord. Point number two, now repentance and removal of the curse. You have something to do. You have something to do. And as you do your part, and your part is very simple. It's just like, you know, let's say, for example, around you, you have some, you know, bad things around you there, some oppression there, some sickness there. Let's say you could quantify them, make them physical, or tangible. You could hold them. And all you do is you get up and you walk away from it. You get up and you walk away from it. And that is repentance. Let's say, for example, now this is a sin that is holding you down. And it is a sin that is bringing all the curse, all the yoke, all the oppression, all the pain, all the sickness upon your life. Just get up and walk away. Get up and walk away. Get up and walk away. And as you get up and walk away, you're free. I said you're free. You walk into freedom. You walk into deliverance. You walk into liberty. You walk into complete deliverance and dominion in Jesus' name. You know, there are some people, I think we should sometimes use our common sense. You have some trouble there, some fire burning there, some smoke there, and you have some kind of oppression of the devil. They stay there, and they stay, as they say, I'm being oppressed, get up. I'm being tormented, get up. I'm facing some challenges, get up. They won't allow me to do this, get up. Get up and walk away, and you're walking your freedom tonight in Jesus' name. That's what repentance means. You make up your mind. You turn away from evil. And the Lord is waiting for you already. That's what that prodigal son did. You know, what if he stayed in that poverty, in that hunger, in that deprivation, in that slavery, in that kind of atmosphere, that community, and just said, I'm perishing with hunger here. I'm being deprived of my rights here. They're destroying me here. My life is not what it ought to be here. Then get up. And that's what he said, I will arise and go to my father. And I will say to my father, Father, I've sinned against you and against heaven. I'm not worthy to be called your child. And then he didn't only think about it. He actually rose up and then he got to his father. And the moment he got up and left that far country, everything changed in his life. I come to tell you here tonight, everything is going to change in your life. As you make up your mind and you say, oh Lord, I know the answer. I know the solution. I know my freedom. I know my release. It's there already. All I need to do is get up and move away. And the Lord will totally set you free in Jesus' name. Every chain that binds you will be broken. All the fetters that tie you down will be broken in Jesus' name. And let's look at this in Ezekiel chapter 18. Ezekiel chapter 18. Don't complain anymore. All you need to do is get up and move away and everything will be all right. I said everything is all right already. Look at this, Ezekiel 18, verse 30. Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, says the Lord God. Repent and turn yourself from all your transgression, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Nothing will ruin you. Satan will not ruin you. Demons will not ruin you. Your iniquity will not ruin you in Jesus' name. He says, repent and turn yourself from all your transgression, so iniquity shall not ruin you, shall not be your ruin. Cast away from you all your transgressions whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? I will not die. I said, I will not die. You know, you shouldn't die in sin. You shouldn't die in the lap of the devil. You can get away from the devil, and the devil cannot hold you down in Jesus' name. And it says, for I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, says the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves. You see that? Turn yourselves and live. You will live. Look at Proverbs chapter 3, verse 33. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 33. Proverbs chapter 3. You're making up your mind right now. Any bondage in which you confined yourself, that bondage is broken. Any satanic imprisonment in which you are, you made a covenant with the devil and you are in that predicament, all that is broken tonight in Jesus' name. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 33. It says, the curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked. Maybe you are in the house of the wicked yourself, and then the curse is there. It doesn't belong to you, it belongs to the wicked. But because you make yourself to be in that house of the wicked, and then it says, but he blesses the habitation of the just. When you come out of that wickedness and then you come to the just, you come to the justification by the Lord Jesus Christ, blessings and blessings and blessings will overflow in your life in Jesus' name. Proverbs chapter 26. If you have a pen there, if you have anything to mark, pencil there, you must mark this one. You must mark this one. Once you mark this one and then you memorize it, you swallow it, you take it in your heart, the devil will never bother you with any curse in Jesus' name. Remember, before you came to Christ, the curse was there. The curse that came upon Adam and Eve came upon all his descendants. Before you came to Christ, all the curse of the broken law in Deuteronomy chapter 28, all that curse was there. But when you came out and you came to Christ, all the curse of Deuteronomy, all the curse of Numbers, all the curse of Leviticus, all the curse in Genesis, all the curse in Exodus, the moment you came to Jesus Christ, all that curse, everything went away in Jesus' name. As you look at your Bible, you're going to see some curse in Joshua, some curse in Judges, and some curse in all the other parts of the Old Testament. As you left all those sins behind and you came to Jesus Christ, all that curse, everything is taken away in Jesus' name. Apart from Genesis to Deuteronomy and then Deuteronomy to Joshua and Judges, apart from Malachi and all those people, if you look at that, you are going to see all the curses there. Then even in your village, even in your city, even in your community, in your past life and your past extended family life, all those curses were there. As you left all those places and then you came to Christ, all the yokes are taken away. All the curse is taken away from your life in Jesus' name. And now there is a Red Sea that divides you from the old life. And all the causes of the old life, they are over there, and then you are over here. You are separated. There is a gulf in between you. The causes will never cross over to meet you again in Jesus' name. Now, Proverbs chapter 26, verse 2. This is what I said, it's your mark. Chapter 26, verse 2. As the bird by wandering, and as a swallow by flying, so the curseless shall not come. The curseless shall not come. I've crossed over unto the promised land. The curseless shall not come. I am identified with Christ. He died for me. He shed his blood for me. He died for me on the cross of Calvary. The curseless shall not come. I have left the land of Egypt. I've left all those Amorites and all those Canaanites. I've left all those Gentiles. I'm now on the side of the Lord. I'm in the body of Christ. And because I'm now in the body of Christ, the curseless shall not come in Jesus' name. He has delivered me from the power of darkness. He has translated me into the kingdom of his dear son. And because I'm translated, I'm on this other side now. And it's the kingdom of light, it's the kingdom of power. I'm cleansed in the blood of the Lamb, blood of Jesus. The curseless shall not come in Jesus' name. My body is not the temple of the Holy Ghost because he lives inside me. If he, the spirit that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead, dwells in your mortal body, it will quicken your mortal body. And because now I'm the temple of the Holy Ghost, the curseless shall not come. I said it shall not come. I said it shall not come. It will not come upon your life anymore in Jesus' name. Look at that verse 2 again. As the bird by wandering and the swallow by flying, so the curseless shall not come. You see what he said to me? As the bird by wandering. That means the bird was in this nest before. And all the things in the nest, they could not fly. And then the bird left that nest and left everything in that nest and then wandered away. Or then it says, and the swallow by flying left the nest and then flew away. That means you have gone away from all the things in that nest. All the things in that nest. Everything is now of the past. They will not be in your life anymore in Jesus' name. I come to tell you that your head is free from the curse. Your body is free from the curse. Your dreams are free from the curse. Your children are free from the curse. Your wife is free from the curse. Your husband is free from the curse. The work of your hand, the business you are doing is free from the curse in Jesus' name. You are going to walk out of this place free tonight. Free and free indeed. And the Lord will set you free in Jesus' name. I love this verse. And the bird by wandering and the swallow by flying, so the curseless shall not come. They will not come. I said they will not come. Acts of the Apostles chapter 3. Acts of the Apostles chapter 3. I'm reading from verse 19. Acts of the Apostles chapter 3 verse 19. It says in verse 9, repent ye therefore. That is, if all I need to do so that I'm free from the curse is to repent, repent ye therefore. If all I need to do is just to get away from Satan and run to Jesus, repent ye therefore. If all I'm to do is to break away from my past and then come to attach myself to the husband of my soul, to the bridegroom of my soul, and come to attach myself to the Lord Jesus Christ, all I need to do is get away from the past and come to this new life, and everything will become totally new in your life in Jesus' name. Miracles you have never seen, you will see. The wonders you have never tasted, you will taste in Jesus' name. And all that God is waiting for in your life is that all the things of the past, you throw them away. And then you say, I'm not in the past anymore. I'm looking to the future now. This is my heritage. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. The times of refreshing. The times of refreshing, the times of refreshing shall come unto you from the presence of the Lord in Jesus' name. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive, until the times of the restoration of all things, the restitution of all things. Can I tell you that in this retreat, restoration, restoration, restoration of all things will come to your life in Jesus' name. Everything that you have lost, everything is coming back. A child, you lost a child. Children, miracle children are coming back in Jesus' name. Any good thing you lost, any good thing you lost, any good thing you lost, they're coming back in your life in Jesus' name. The joy, the fulfillment, and the liberty, and the freedom, and the prosperity, and the good things that made your face to shine, your face will shine again. Because restoration is coming upon your life, whom the heaven must receive, until the times of the restitution, restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. In verse 26, unto you false God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you, in turning away everyone from his iniquity. It will happen. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. There's a simple step you take. There's a simple thing you do. And then blessings will come upon your life. Are you there? I said blessings will come upon your life. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. You know, some people do not understand that. All they think is, okay, I'm born again, and because of that, I should not marry an unbeliever. True, that's right. You should not marry an unbeliever. It's more than that. You know, there are some young people, they go to college, and then in the college, there are some unbelievers that establish what they call maybe a group or a cult or whatever. And then, because maybe somebody took care of them, somebody is visiting and somebody is befriending them, and they don't understand. And it says, you must not be unequally you together with unbelievers. Any kind of gang, any kind of group, any kind of society, any kind of, congregation, that only the unbelievers are there. And then they go through a covenant process to become part of that. You cannot do that, because now you have been translated out. It's like, you know, Moses going back to Egypt and say, Pharaoh, I've come back. You will not go back. It's like Aaron or Miriam going back to Egypt and telling Pharaoh, I've come back. You will not go back in Jesus' name. Once you have been delivered out of Egypt and then you cross that Red Sea, in your own case, you may be baptized in water and you cross the Red Sea and you come to this other side, you will not cross the Red Sea to go back into Egypt anymore. It will not happen to you. And so when a child of God, when he goes to join affinity with Ahab, he goes to join affinity with Pharaoh, he goes to join affinity with the cult, he goes to join affinity with all those unbelievers, that's what the Lord is saying. The yoke has been broken, and that yoke will never come back in your life in Jesus' name. It says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. You're not yoked together with them in business. You're not yoked together with them in a covenant. You're not choked together with them in marriage. You're not choked together with them in any kind of association, any kind of agreement. It says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? Righteousness and unrighteousness must not be yoked together. Must not be in the same group. Must not be in the same society. It cannot be, it must not be. And then it says, and what communion? As light with darkness. You were under the power of darkness before now. You have been brought into the kingdom of his dear son, the kingdom of light. You must not go back to them. And what concordance Christ with Belial? And what part has he that believeth was an infidel? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. Say, I am the temple of the living God. Say that again. Say that again. Now, would you, if you have a house, if you don't have a house yet, I pronounce it on you, you are going to have your own house. Now, let's say you have a house, and as you have the house, you find somebody that is coming from outside. You didn't employ him. And then he begins to break the window. You fold your hand and be looking at them like this. And then he begins to break the door. He begins to, you know, do whatever it is. He begins to remove the roof. Will you allow that? If you are the temple of the living God, and then Satan wants to come, he wants to put cancer in your body. He wants to put tuberculosis in your body, and then he's breaking down your brain with brain problem. He wants to take your kidney away. He wants to do this. Will Jesus allow that? The Lord Jesus will break that head of the devil immediately. Say, don't touch my temple. That is my temple. That is why I came to tell you tonight, everything the devil came to put upon this temple I'm looking at now, all those things, I remove them in Jesus' name. They will not stand. I said they will not stand. Because tonight is the night when the temple of the Holy Ghost, the temple of God, will be totally free in Jesus' name. He said, because he at the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them. I will walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, verse 17, come out from among them, and be ye separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and my daughters, says the Lord Almighty. And I say, amen and amen. Let's look at point number three. Now, point number three is remission and righteousness through his cross. Remission and righteousness through his cross. I'm looking at Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, and we're looking at verse 28. Matthew chapter 26, we're reading from verse 28. It says, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Which is shed for many for remission of sins. It says, if you believe, you are part of the many. If you accept, you are part of the many. If you say, Lord Jesus, I thank you. You died for me. You are part of the many. And it says, for the remission of the sins of many. You ask me, what's the difference between remission of sin and forgiveness of sin? Remission of sin and forgiveness of sin. You see, when you've done something wrong, then God forgives you. God forgives you. Say, praise the Lord, I'm forgiven. But then, you know, if you just have forgiveness alone without remission, the power to overcome that sin, you have been forgiven. You may not have the power. You may go back into it again because you only had forgiveness. But remission, the Lord cleanses you from the inside. It cleanses your brain. It cleanses your mind. It cleanses your habit. It breaks the power of cancer sin. And then on the record of God, in the book of records, he takes everything away. So when the devil comes and he says, why? You rejoicing after all? Were you not like this? Were you not like that? And then when you go to God and say, God, I am sorry. And God says, what are you sorry about? What I did about 2 years ago. But I've forgiven you and I've remitted. I've given you remission already. Yes, but the devil is still telling me this and that. And God says, wait a minute. Let me see my record. He looks at the book of records. It's not even there. I said, it's not there. And so God said, I don't know what you are talking about because it's not in the record. It is like you never did that thing in your life. And then you can tell the devil, devil, you are a liar. Can you tell him now? Did he hear you? He's a liar. All those things are not in the records of God anymore in Jesus' name. Because the Lord said, this is the blood, my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of their sins. Praise the Lord. All my sins are remitted. All my sins are taken away. They are blotted out. They will not come into remembrance anymore in Jesus' name. We're looking at Luke chapter 1 verse 74. Luke chapter 1 verse 74. That ye might grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, no enemy will catch you again. Delivered out of the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him. How long? All the days of our life. Living one day at a time, you remain righteous for the rest of your life in Jesus' name. And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way and to give the knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. By the remission of their sins. Remember, they will not be remembered against you anymore in Jesus' name. Romans chapter 3. And we're reading from verse 25. Romans chapter 3, verse 25. Romans chapter 3, and reading from verse 25. It says in verse 25, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation, is a means of our cleansing, is a means of our atonement, is a means of our forgiveness and remission of sin through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of the sins that are past. For the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. And thank God, from now on you can say, praise the Lord, my sins are forgiven, praise the Lord, there's remission of sins, praise the Lord, the lot of the wicked will not be upon me anymore. I said the lot of the wicked will not be upon you anymore. Look at this in Psalm 125. Psalm 125, I'm reading from verse 3. Psalm 125 verse 3, for the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous. I thought you'd say amen to that. The yoke upon the wicked will not rest upon the righteous. The curse on the wicked will not rest upon the righteous. All the oppression, all the devastation coming upon the wicked will not come upon you in Jesus' name. Look at Psalm 5, verse 12. Psalm 5, verse 12. Psalm 5, we're reading from verse 12 here. Something is happening already. I said something is happening already. You will never be the same again. It says, for thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. Thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. He will not curse the righteous, never. He will not punish the righteous, never. He will not oppress the righteous, never. He will not destroy the righteous, never. But for thou, Lord, will bless the righteous with favor, will thou compass him as a shield. And if the Lord has made you righteous because of the death of Jesus Christ on your behalf, because of the shedding of his blood on your behalf, I believe, according to the word of God, that blessings will come upon you from tonight in Jesus' name. Psalm 34, and I'm reading from verse 19. Psalm 34, verse 19, the righteous. It says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him. Tell me, out of them all. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord has delivered me out of them all. It has happened already. Psalm 37. I'm reading from verse 17. Psalm 37, verse 17. It says, for the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The arm of the wicked shall be broken. I said the arm of the wicked shall be broken. You know, some people don't understand that, what it means. You see, there was a time that God sent a man of God from Blame Judah, and he went to where Jeroboam. And then Jeroboam said, touch him, catch him. And then when he put up his hand like that, what happened to his hand? It dried up. Every hand that is raised against you to destroy you will be cut off in Jesus' name. There was a time that David went to the battlefield, and then as the Philistines hated David. He said, that's the man. And then when they said that is the man, and then what they did is that one of those Philistines wanted to raise up his hand to cut down David, and then somebody came from behind and then cut off the hand of that man and destroyed him. And when the wicked tried to touch you with their hand, God will cut off that hand. Praise the Lord, you are free. Praise the Lord, you are free. Because the righteous, the lot of the wicked will not fall upon you in Jesus' name. I love that verse. I want to read that verse again. It says the arms, two of them, the arms of the wicked, right hand and left hand, they try with the right hand, and then if they will still not learn their lesson, they raise up the other hand, it is gone. I said it is gone. How can a Christian be sorrowful? How can a Christian be, carrying himself under a weight as if, I'm unfortunate? You are not unfortunate. I rejoice with you if you are a believer, because the arms of the wicked shall be cut off in Jesus' name. But the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. Your inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. I'm talking about somebody here today. Who is that? Praise the Lord. You are that righteous person in Jesus' name. Psalm 55, I'm reading from verse 22. Psalm 55, verse 22, it says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. He will not suffer you as a righteous man to be moved in Jesus' name. Psalm 72, I'm reading from verse 7, from verse 8. In his days, in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ, shall the righteous flourish. You will flourish. An abundance of peace, so long as the moon endureth, he shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the river unto the ends of the earth. I'm looking at Psalm 112, reading from verse 6. We're reading here from verse 6, and then we're going to read until verse 7. It says in verse 6, surely it shall not be moved forever. It shall not be moved forever. You will not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. Tonight, the Lord remembers you. All through this retreat, the Lord remembers you. And forever, anytime you come before the Lord, he says, that's my child, that's my son, that's my daughter. Washed in the blood of Jesus, you'll be in everlasting remembrance in Jesus' name. Verse 7, he shall not be afraid. He shall not be afraid. He shall not be afraid. Where are the people? He shall not be afraid. Are you afraid? I said, are you afraid? A child of God, what do we have to fear? You will not be afraid of Satan. You'll not be afraid of the powers of darkness. You'll not be afraid of the curse that pass by. You'll not be afraid of any yoke and of any arrow flying by day, anything flying by night. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Your heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. You keep on trusting in the Lord in Jesus' name. Psalm 118, I'm reading from verse 15. Psalm 118, verse 15. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacle of the righteous. The voice of rejoicing, you rejoice yet again. And the right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. Verse 17, you will read this for yourself. Verse 17, 1, 2, 3, go. Now you read, I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. Read that again. Now verse 19, open to me the gates of righteousness, and I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter. Open unto me the gates of righteousness. The gate is open now. The gate is open now because Jesus Christ died for you on the cross of Calvary. The gate of righteousness is open. And as you enter into that gate, all your sins of the past, they are gone. All your guilt, condemnation of the past, they are gone. And all the punishment and the yoke and the pressure of the past sin, everything is gone. Open unto me the gate of righteousness, and I want to enter in. Get up and enter in. I said, get up and enter in. Get up and enter in. No, nothing will tie you down. Get up and enter in. All your past sins, you leave them behind. All your past condemnation, you leave them behind. All your past guilt, you leave them behind. Open to me the gates of righteousness so that the righteous will enter into that. Jesus Christ has opened the gate. Jesus Christ has opened the gate. Jesus Christ has opened the gate. Your sin does not need to tie you down anymore. All those evil things do not need to keep you down anymore. The yoke, the bondage, the curse, they do not need to tie you down anymore. Open unto me the gates of righteousness that the righteous may enter in. You can enter in right now. You can enter in right now and leave all your sins behind and leave all that yoke behind and leave all the condemnation behind and then leave all Satan, the accuser of the brethren, leave him behind. Satan cannot talk to you anymore. Satan cannot talk to you anymore. Satan cannot talk to you anymore. If he talks, you're not going to listen, because the gate of righteousness is open. The gate of righteousness is open. Jesus paid the price. Jesus paid the price. Jesus paid the price. Jesus paid the price. Now you are free. Now you are free. Now you are free. You are free from the punishment of sin. You are free from the power of sin. You are free from the yoke of sin. You are free from the condemnation of sin. You are free from the powers of darkness. You are free from Satan that operates all those evil things in the kingdom of darkness. You are free from any covenant you made in any secret society. Open unto me the gates of righteousness, and the righteous man, the righteous woman will enter in. Enter in right now. Enter in. Lord, I enter. Lord, I enter. Lord, I enter. My guilt is gone. My condemnation is gone. My oppression is gone. All my attacks, they are gone. All the afflictions, they are gone. All the curse is gone. It's gone. It's gone. Open unto me the gates of righteousness that the righteous may enter in. Enter in right now. Enter in right now. Enter in right now. Enter in right now. It's translating you now. It's translating you right now out of the kingdom of darkness, out of the power of darkness, unto the kingdom of his dear Son. Translating you. Translating you. It's like you're going to another country. Translating you. Translating you. The blood of Jesus provides the passport and the visa to get into that country. This new country, there's no sickness there. This new country, there's no oppression there. This new country, there's no curse there. Enter. Enter, enter, say praise the Lord, I enter, 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 praise the Lord, I see the door wide open, see the gates wide open. You can enter right now, you can enter, you can enter right now, you can enter right now. Let this be that night, let this be that day, let this be that day. Out of sin into his righteousness, out of darkness into his light, out of oppression, out of bondage into his freedom, into his liberty. out. Out. Out of sickness into his health, out of poverty into his wealth. Come in. Come in. Come in. Come in. He welcomes you. And whosoever comes to me, I will in no wise reject. Come in now. Come in now. He'll take all your sins away. Come in now. He'll take all the oppression away. Come in now. He'll take all the attacks away. Come in now. He'll take all the afflictions away. Come in now. He'll break every yoke and destroy the works of the devil. Come in now. If the Son shall set you free, he shall be free. I'm free indeed. Free. 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 I'm free indeed. He welcomes you. And from today, you can say, praise the Lord. I came out of darkness. I'm now in the kingdom of his dear Son. My sins are forgiven. Not only that, I have redemption. Not only that, I have remission of my sins. He doesn't have any record of my sins anymore. Believe, receive, and rejoice. It's done. It's done. If you have got any yoke, tell the Lord, get up and walk away from it. Any affliction, tell the Lord, get up and walk away from it. Any incurable disease, tell the Lord, get up and walk away from it. Any work of the devil, deformity, get up and walk away from it. In Jesus' name we pray. And the free people of God, delivered people of God, redeemed people of God, ransomed people of God said, I am free, where are you? I am free, where are you? I am delivered, where are you? All my oppression is gone, where are you? My sins are forgiven, where are you? I am translated. I am translated. I am translated. Out of the power of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. If you believe that, where are you? If you are standing on that, where are you? We're going to pray now to confirm that freedom and to confirm that deliverance. Remember, 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 any yoke, any oppression, any guilt, any condemnation, just get up and walk away, and you are not condemned anymore. Your salvation is secured in Jesus' name. Your forgiveness is ascertained in Jesus' name. And every yoke of the devil, every power of darkness is canceled away from your life tonight. Tonight, God will put a testimony in your mouth. Peace of God in your soul. And the joy of salvation in your soul. And complete total deliverance and dominion in your life in Jesus' name. Raise up your hand to the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you because the cross of Jesus Christ, the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, he died for us on the cross of Calvary, that cancels every curse. And I pray for everyone raising up their hand now in the children's church, in the youth camp, in the campus section, and then over here everywhere. I pray, Lord, all the curse, all the condemnation, take everything away in Jesus' name. that forgiveness you purchase for everyone. I pray, Lord, as they get up and walk away from all their past sins and they repent and turn away, I pray that assurance of forgiveness you grant unto them now in Jesus' name. Not only forgiveness, remission of their sin. That in the book of records, you cleanse away all the sin in their own heart, in their own memory. You cleanse away the sin and then you break the power of the cancelled sin from their lives in Jesus' name. I pray for everyone right now because Jesus died for them. You've opened the gate of righteousness. I pray that everyone will enter in into that gate of righteousness in Jesus' name. Assurance of salvation, joy of salvation, the victory of salvation, the power to live in newness of life, grant unto everyone in Jesus' name. And now all the consequences of sin cancel everything. Every curse in any life, I command all the curse and all the yoke and all the oppression in your life, come out in Jesus' name. Every sickness, every infirmity, I command you, come out in Jesus' name. Lord, right now, touch the eyes of the blind. I command those blind eyes be opened in Jesus' name. Those who are lame, paralyzed, one leg shorter than the other, or withered hand, I send the power of God upon you right now. Be healed in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray right now, anyone that have been under any oppression, any curse from anywhere, from any broken covenant, I remove that curse. I remove that curse. And all the pain of that cause, all the terrible things happening to you because of that cause, I cancel from your life in Jesus' name. Lord, release everyone. Release everyone. I release you into blessing. I release you into joy. I release you into miracle. I release you into total freedom, deliverance, and dominion in Jesus' name. Put testimony in every mouth. Confirm the miracle in every life. Above all this joy of salvation, victory of salvation, power of salvation, let it remain permanent in their lives in Jesus' name. I thank you because I know you have answered. In Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, and the people of God said, amen. Put your hands together for Jesus. Amen. Amen. You know, early tomorrow morning, I said early tomorrow morning, I'm going to bring something to you that we call our glorious escape. I'm telling you, our glorious escape. You will know what it means to escape. I said you will know what it means to escape. And if you have been, you know, falling and rising before, you get the miracle now, and then later you don't know, I don't know where it is again. Tomorrow morning, early morning, early morning escape. I said early morning escape. Our glorious escape. I just want to tell you that this retreat, you've never seen anything like this before. Something will happen to you. Something will happen to you. I'll see you tomorrow morning for our glorious escape. Thank you, and God bless every one of you.